Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do welcome you to this edition of Basic Gospel. Today's topic is this: how do you define the gospel? And I know most of the listeners out there tuning into this broadcast are Christians. They probably know what the gospel message is and how to articulate it. But oftentimes we struggle in our Christian experience. We lose the joy of our salvation. This good news that is supposed to be joy to our hearts becomes anything but that. We feel failure and frustration and struggle and all of those sort of things. And so maybe it's time that we take a fresh look at what this gospel message really is. Mm-hmm. I know in my heart, when I first heard the good news, I knew that I needed Jesus, but I wasn't sure what I needed him for. And so I asked him to help me become a better person. And boy, I just fell flat on my face, and there was no joy in that. And eventually, that wasn't good news at all. That was horrible news, because I was doomed. There was no way I could be God's guy. Well, maybe that's your situation. Maybe you've tried to live the Christian life, but it just hasn't come together for you. Well, if that's the case, then I'm encouraging you to take a fresh look at what this gospel message is. Take a fresh look at what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. I guarantee you it'll make a difference in your life today.
Sure so will.
That's what we're talking about. Call us 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. It is exciting when we can take a fresh look. I know last year I was going through some personal things in life, and it was a struggle. And I said, I want God's love to win out in this situation. And I really wanted that to happen. And finally it came to the point and said, well, I better take a fresh look at what the love of God is really all about. Uh-huh. And so I went back to 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that great passage that everybody hears at wedding ceremonies, and many people probably have up on, you know, in a frame, up on a wall or something. But it has meaning and substance to us right here and right now. And when I took a fresh look at 1 Corinthians 13, boy, the love of God just overwhelmed me. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so I'm encouraging you to do the same with this gospel message. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, take a fresh look at what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. I guarantee you, God is interested in you experiencing joy in your life, and he wants to restore that to you through his love and grace. Well, again, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Go ahead and call right now. We're going to start today in New Jersey, talking with Angelo. Hi, Angelo.
Hello, Bob. And I wanted to thank you, your group, for coming back to the New York City area. I mean, I've been a longtime listener to Basic Gospel under the People to People banner, and I'm really thankful for you guys being back again here in this area. We really do need it.
Well, thanks, Angelo. It's great to be back, and we sure appreciate your encouraging words today.
Okay, Bob, and I also have a question. I have many folks that come and knock on my door, and they always seem to hover on this question about faith without works, and I wanted to get your advice about that particular verse and how I can handle that.
Well, Angelo, that's a great question. You know, many people have looked at what James had to say in his letter, second chapter, Faith Without Works is Dead, and said, you know, he's just in total conflict with Paul, who writes over and over that You know, it's not by works that we are justified. No one will be declared righteous in the sight of God by works of the law. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. So those seem to be contradictory passages, that the two are going down different roads. But I don't think that's the case at all. James is looking at the faith issue from a different viewpoint. Paul is looking at it from someone who is coming to Christ for salvation and that initial conversion, and he's saying that there's no way that works can be a part of it, because no one is good enough to bring any good works to the table. So it has to be by grace and by grace alone. That's why he wrote in Ephesians 2, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It's a gift. It's not of works. But James is looking at it from the backside, saying, okay, you have come to faith in Jesus Christ. You have been justified. Now, what does that life look like? What does that life, how is it expressed? And that's where he gets the point, faith without works is dead. If you're just believing something intellectually, you've just agreed to the facts, you haven't truly experienced saving faith. But if you have really had a heart that responded to the gospel with faith, it's going to produce good works. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come to live inside, and Jesus Christ is going to do his work in and through you. So faith in Jesus is going to produce Jesus' works. Why? Because he's alive, he's living in us, and he's going to do his work in and through us. So it's looking at the events of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from different viewpoints. Does that make sense?
That's pretty much what I understood. Basically, that it's a manifestation of our faith in Christ, that Christ is able to produce works through us.
Yeah,
it's not the other way, that we can't be saved through works.
That's exactly right. No way that we can be saved through works. It's by grace and by grace alone. And after we're saved, the works that flow out of us that are, good as far as God is concerned, are works that are produced by that same grace of God that saved us. You know, I love what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I persecuted the church, and I shouldn't have been called an apostle, but it's by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So whatever Paul did as far as advancing the good news of Jesus Christ, it was done by the grace of God that was with him. That wasn't his works. Those weren't his works. That wasn't a part of his human effort. That was God's grace working in and through him. So the faith that we have that attaches us to Jesus Christ and the grace that he brings to us is a dynamic, ongoing faith. And we'll see grace works being produced through us.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, and give my love to Gina, your wife.
I will do so, Angela, and you do the same with Yvonne, and great to hear from you today, my friend.
All right, God bless, and thank you for being back on the air here in New York City.
Oh, we're glad to be there, and keep spreading the word for us, okay?
We sure will.
All right, thanks, Angelo. Well, want to remind our listeners of our gift that we have for them these first 2 weeks of being on the air and in New York City, Washington, D.C., Louisville, Kentucky. It's a single CD message that you and I and Bob Davis collaborated on, and it's called The Basic Gospel Journey. We get so caught up oftentimes in this conversion deal. You know, we've believed, and we just leave it there. And we have the gospel that we intersect with on Sundays or when we go to a Bible study, but we don't necessarily intersect with it Monday through Friday. You know, we just kind of compartmentalize and go about our business. But that's not the journey that God has called us to. this gospel message, you know, takes hold of us in conversion, but then it's lived out in day-to-day life, Monday through Friday. And that's what this CD is all about. If you want to know how the gospel message applies to you Monday morning when you get up and go to work, or when you're dealing with a boss, or when you're having family issues, or those sort of things, or you're worried about your finances or your retirement or that sort of thing, this particular CD can help you learn how to apply the gospel message to every aspect of life. And it's yours just for the asking. Go to our website at basicgospel.net, or you can call right now 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828.
And we have another number for you, and that's the line that you can call and be a part of this particular edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free wherever you're hearing the broadcast. And 1-800-677-9377 is wide open right now.
Yeah, we got an email from John in Illinois, and it plays off of this call we just had with Angelo from a slightly different perspective, but I think it gets at a very related thing. What is our opinion, what is your opinion, about biblical accountability? The church he attends stresses the importance of accountability in small groups, and so, you know, people have to confess to each other and all of that. What are we talking about here when we're talking about accountability?
Well, our accountability is to God, first and foremost. You know, there's this accountability on the fact that we are sinners and dead spiritually. And when the law has its impact in our lives and fulfills its purpose in our lives, it shuts our mouths. Mm-hmm. I love what Paul wrote in Romans 3. It said it's describing the purpose of the law, and he writes this. And so listen to what he has to say. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. We stand or fall with God. I mean, we're going to stand before him. And so our accountability is to him. And the law shows us our sinfulness. Now that we admit that and agree to that, we come to Christ by faith. We're made alive. And now God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And our lives are to be led by him. And certainly when we take a wrong turn, when we get off the path, God's Spirit is right there to bring us back. And so our accountability is to God. Now, as far as one to another, if I've sinned against you, I should go and mm-hmm. confess that sin.
Yes.
And let God's Spirit restore us one to another. But to have a group of people and to say, hey, I want to do this, I'm going to tell you all the things that I did this week, and hopefully that's going to hold me accountable, and I'm not going to do them next week. I think that's just more of rules and regulations and rituals, and it just turns into legalism.
Yeah, and it doesn't build the body of Christ up, really, because you're not supporting each other. You're picking on each other, in a sense.
Absolutely.
And if we keep the accountability to God, and then we're building each other and restoring each other gently, the dynamic changes completely.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Norwalk, Connecticut, and talk with Jennifer, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Bless Welcome you. To the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So my question is, I have a family friend who is attending a church who does not participate in Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, or doesn't take the body and the blood of Christ seriously, because she feels that it's something that's symbolic, and if you're not going to do it seriously, why bother? So the church doesn't participate in any of those symbolic events to represent, you know, Christ as Lord and Savior. They do believe in receiving the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues. They also believe in speaking in tongues. So my question is, you know, how is this church okay? You know, what's your take on that?
Well, Jennifer, good question. So she has a friend that's involved with a church that doesn't celebrate Christmas. They won't have a Christmas tree, or they won't celebrate Easter or some of the other things that a lot of churches do. And I'm sure they believe that those are pagan rituals, and they do not want to participate in those particular, quote, pagan rituals. It sounds like they have some other things that are going on there as well. And how do you look at that and say, is this church orthodox? Do they hold to the basic doctrines of the faith? And the only way you can know is to ask them, to explore, to find out what they believe about Jesus Christ. A lot of times you'll find, and I'm not going to say this is true for every single church like that, but you will find that they're very legalistic in their thinking, that salvation is not a free gift of God's grace. It's earned through good works. That if they do good enough in life, then at the coming judgment, they will be declared righteous and will be granted entry into God's kingdom. But that's works-based thinking. It's not grace-based thinking. And the only way salvation occurs is by grace through faith. This gospel message is Jesus' story. So, Jennifer, I would just encourage you to find out what they really believe about Jesus, what they really believe about the gospel, what they really believe about his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think that will tell you whether or not they are grace-centered or law-centered.
I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Jennifer. Thanks for calling. And let me put you on hold. We'll send you that CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, okay?
Thanks for calling, Jennifer. Good to hear from you. Plenty of open lines, friends. Still time on the clock. We want to hear from you. That's why we're here every day at this particular half hour to address your questions. 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you at Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Sunnyside, New York, and talk with Howard, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Mr. Christopher.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome, or thank you. I have a question, Mr. Christopher. Is there any difference in when they state the kingdom of heaven is like stated in Matthew, the 13th chapter of Matthew, there's quite a few references. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. But also on Matthew, there's a few verses, I can't remember which ones, but it also it states the kingdom of God. And I was wondering, is there any difference, between the kingdom of heaven, when it states the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, or and then, like I said, there's a few other verses in there. Can't pick them out right quick here, but
yeah, Howard, I don't think there's any real difference between the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. I know there are some theologians that try to make a distinction, but when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're simply stating that it's God's rule and reign over his creation and his creative order. And when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, I mean, that's where that's being fully expressed today. And as this plan of salvation continues throughout history, there's going to be a point in time where that kingdom of heaven becomes truly visible here when, you know, God's will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So that's coming, and we're certainly a part of that. Right now, we're an expression, and when I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about born-again believers. We are an expression of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right now, right here.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome,
that clears,
Howard.
That clears that question up, Mr. Christopher.
Well, thanks for your call, Howard. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you that CD as well. Appreciate your call today.
Yes. God bless your program.
Hey, thank you so much, Howard. Let's go to Carlstadt, New Jersey, and talk with Adam, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Adam.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Good. Just wanted to get you guys' take on the scriptural evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues.
Great question, Adam. As far as the baptism of the Holy Spirit is concerned, that is not always accompanied by the gift of tongues. It certainly wasn't accompanied by the gift of tongues in my life, and I don't think anybody here in the studio's lives as well.
No.
So that is not, I don't think, something that we can make a theology out of or a doctrine out of. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply that moment when God, by His Spirit, places us into the body of Christ, and that happens at the moment of conversion. Our spirits are made alive, that's new birth, and then we're baptized or placed into the body of Christ. He just does that for us. Some people know what that is right out of the chute, others do not. But a lot of times the gift of tongues, this is what I've seen and experienced through the years, that many people long for that gift simply as a sign that they are truly saved. So it becomes a matter of assurance of salvation for them. But when you can go back and talk about the assurance that they have because of the finished work of Christ, it becomes a non-issue. If they can gain their assurance of salvation based on what the gospel message is and not an experience they're having, then they can see that experience in a completely different light. So a lot of times I think when we talk about the gift of tongues, really the question behind the question is this: can I know for sure that I'm saved? And thus far, the only way that I know I'm really saved is that I speak in tongues. But I'm telling you, there's a different way to know that for sure. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at salvation. It's God placing us into the body of Christ. The gift of tongues is a gift given by the Spirit at His discretion. Not everybody has that gift, and as a matter of fact, very few people have it today, at least based on what the Word of God or how the Word of God describes it. Adam, hope
I'm
that
sorry,
helps.
Do you believe that it still is a gift in operation today, or no?
It can be. I mean, I haven't seen it up close and personal. I've heard stories of it in operation as God has gifted somebody to speak in a known language that they didn't know to share the gospel. But I haven't seen it up close and personal. Well, Adam, we're out of time. I sure appreciate your call. Thank you. Well, let's go quickly to Michael in Neptune, New Jersey. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I just have a quick question. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus calls Himself the true vine, and He says that you have to abide in Him in order to bear fruit. And He says every branch that doesn't produce fruit is cut off and thrown in the fire, but those that do produce fruit are pruned, so they'll produce more fruit. So I was wondering, how does God prune people? That's what I don't understand.
I think it's with attitudes. It's with the renewing of the mind. It's some of those disciplines that He brings to us for our benefit.
Just in everyday life.
And just in everyday life. And with that comes a harvest of righteousness. So it's a positive thing. You know, when you prune a garden, it's for the overall benefit of the garden so that those plants can produce more fruit and be of more value as far as what they're providing for the people who partake. Well, Michael, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And friends, at Basic Gospel, we have resources to aid your spiritual growth and understanding of the gospel. And we're spotlighting this month a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's our gift to you during this month. For your copy, go online to basicgospel.net and click the link on the homepage. It's our opportunity to say thank you for joining us on this Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that website, basicgospel.net. Click the Basic Gospel Journey link for your CD. We'll get one off to you right away. Remember, too, Basic Gospel is a new broadcast on your station. We hope you will like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel is heard every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and we invite you to call with Bible questions or concerns. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.